Alrighty, folks, and with that, we welcome you to the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Always good to have you in. We usually kind of settle in, get in a groove, a lot to talk about, NFL draft, spring game, NBA playoffs, Duck baseball hosting Oregon State, but we've got a leadoff hitter today, to use a baseball analogy. He was on a couple weeks ago. He'll be playing the McDonald Theater tomorrow night, 7:30. Jeremy-Piven.com for tickets, McDonaldTheater.com for tickets. You may have guessed, Jeremy Piven in the house. Jeremy, great to have you. Welcome to Eugene. How we doing?
Fantastic, man. It's good to be in the house as opposed to just on a call. I don't like phoning it in, literally or figuratively. I like to just be here, show up. That's what life is. 80, 97, it's all about showing up. I can't do the math on it.
Well, we have not had many interviews in studio since the pandemic, so it's great having you here. I know that you were technically born in New York City, born in, and raised in Chicago, yeah. Obviously in L.A. for a long time. Have you cast your shadow in our city before?
I love New York. Is incredible. I feel like a freak in a freak kingdom there. I went to NYU. I was born in New York. And I love it there. I feel like I'll end up there for sure. But I just touched down here. And I'm just, before I do a show, I just like to walk around town and get a sense of the place and the people, and so that I can relate to the people on stage. And because people need to be seen, they don't want some cookie cutter show that's just, you know. And so I'm getting a sense very quickly of Oregon and their love of sports here. The Uber drivers that are, you know, they ask me 116 questions. It's adorable. How long are you in here for? Oh, great. And so where are you heading next? And do you, where are you staying? And what is your Netflix password? I need a stool sample and just a little bit of urine. And I'm sorry, what's happening now? And where are we going? I'm like, it's in your app, ma'am. It's in the app where we're going. Could you imagine if you and I showed up at work, like if I showed up at the McDonald Theater tomorrow night and I said, hey, guys, what should I talk about? What do I do here? Oh, it's in my head. I'm sorry.
Q&A.
Yeah. We're not doing a Q&A. I'm gonna give you a straight hour of just packed, just goodness. We're going to laugh our asses off.
You know, obviously your tour has and will continue to take you to big cities. I saw, you know, back home in Chicago, St. Louis, San Diego. But, you know, this is a kind of a different place. Do you tailor your show to the kind of, you get a kind of a gauge of the nature of your audience, a college town versus a major metro town?
1,000%. You know, you've got to know the room that you're playing. And it's funny, I was just talking to a guy before I stepped up here, is a much older gentleman, that we were talking about everything. And, you know, he and I didn't agree politically. And I said, come to my show and I'm going to offend you, but you're going to laugh your ass off. And that's my job, you know, because my mom had a rule growing up, you could say whatever you want as long as it's funny. And so if I shed some light on something and you can laugh, see, right now, I just think that everyone, we're all divided and they're keeping us divided. And if we can, if no matter where you're coming from, if you can be open to someone else's point of view or another truth that's your own, then we're on to something. If you're not willing to listen to someone and you're dug in, then it's going to be interesting. But also, it's my job just to make you laugh and maybe see things from a different perspective.
You know, an interesting question. I hope it's interesting. What, for example, I got this job. We were an ESPN affiliate. And I got my business card, and being a sports nut, I saw the ESPN logo, and I was like, this is very cool. Somebody asked me to ask you this. Do you remember your first paid job as an actor? And was it the kind of moment where, I know you had been acting since you were 8 with the, you know, your parents' theater and all that.
Yeah.
But was there a moment where, like, because obviously I don't have to tell you how many zillions of people go to Hollywood with dreams and never get past, you know, waiting tables or being a barista. Do you remember your first paid job? And was it a moment where you were like, wow, I made it this far?
Yeah, my first job out of college was touring with Second City, which is an improv group. Yeah. And Second City kind of originated in Chicago, hence the Second City. We're always called the Second City to New York, which is the first city. But I was traveling around in a van doing sketch comedy at the time in the 90s with Chris Farley. That's how old I am. And they separated us because we were both, you know, kind of wild. And so Chris went to one, you know, part of the country. I went to the other. And I thought I'd made it. I thought I peaked. This was it. I'm a superstar. And I was traveling in a van, you know, and just and doing sketch comedy for people. And I thought, it doesn't get any better. And what a beautiful way to be, which is, you know, and I had a lot to learn. I've you know, done over 80 movies. I'm very grateful. You can always think that you could and should be doing better than you are. And I think that's a trap, you know. This isn't a TED talk, but I do think when you embrace gratitude for where you are. My mother just passed away. And, you know, I'm very thankful for this perspective on life, how lucky we are to be here right now. Nothing is promised to us. No one's going to save us. I miss her. And we're lucky to be here.
You know, when we spoke a couple weeks back, you said how nuts it was that some people just are finding out that you're doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it more than a decade.
Yeah.
Well, I was just reading something about you. You had won something called the Fresh Face Award, and you were 40.
Yeah.
Does that kind of play into some people just have a different perspective?
Yeah, my journey took a very long time, and I could be the poster child for, you know, don't give up, never give up. I started acting when I was 8, and then 32 years later, I broke through, you know, and, I look younger than I am, which I'm very grateful for, thanks to my mom. And so at 40, I said, there's nothing fresh about my face, but thank you for the Fresh Face of the Year award. I appreciate it. But, I think that we're a culture that is very obsessed with age and times, and, you know, whenever we do an article on someone, you know, they say that your age right next to your name, and it's kind of silly. I don't really operate like that. We all feel very young, no matter how we look. And I'm lucky enough. I do think what keeps you young is learning new things. And stand-up isn't new to me, but I've been on stage my whole life and been working, and yet people, when they see my stand-up, they say to me afterwards, "We didn't know you were this funny," which is a real shot in the arm for me, because all of this comes from me. When I played Ari Gold, Doug Ellen wrote a brilliant script, and I was so lucky to play that character. I wasn't allowed to improvise, and the script was so good that, you know, it spoke for itself, but there's a part of me that I always tried. And so I finally went, you know what? I got to find an arena, a lane, that allows me to have freedom, and this allows me to let my hands go. To make a sports analogy, like as a boxer, you want to let your hands go and throw in those combinations and stick and move and really just kind of feel free to talk about whatever you want to talk about and whatever you find funny. And selfishly, when people come see this, they'll get a sense of who I am, as opposed to, wait, isn't that Ari Gold from Entourage? Well, no, I'm a stage actor from Chicago that's, just like you, probably worse. And you know what I mean? Literally. And that's what's great about stand-up is, you know, you can look at him and go, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. You know?
You know, it's funny when people say they didn't know you were funny. It's like, well, I guess you never caught Larry Sanders or The Ellen Show or Entourage or some of the other
comic bits. Old school, you know, which, you know, old school with Will Ferrell and myself.
Right.
You know, I've been doing comedies forever.
A lot.
Yeah. But that's okay. That's all right. Whatever. If you hate me, come to my show. I love that. I really do.
Probably especially.
Yeah, if you bring all the haters, let's all gather together and have a laugh. And if you still hate me, I'll give you your money back. And I'm Jewish. Think about that.
Right.
It's very difficult to part with money. You know how you know someone's Jewish? Do you know how you know someone's Jewish, by the way? They tell you.
Well, they could start reciting their Haftorah.
They could, but they tell you. They tell you for no reason. You ever notice that? People are like, hey, bro, you want to go skiing? I'm like, I'm Jewish. Hey, we don't ski. What? I didn't ask you. And then like, oh, you're Jewish? Come, you know, I'm going to a bat mitzvah on Saturday. I'm not that Jewish.
That's classic. Talking about stand-up,
yeah.
I ask this of a lot of people, obviously. So I'm born in 1960. I think I'm 5 or 6 years older than you. So I was reared on Don Rickles, Hello Dummy, George Carlin, AM/FM, Dangerfield, Steve Martin, obviously into the 80s with Eddie Murphy. Were you someone who would listen to comedy albums? Were you influenced by any of them, any favorites?
Well, yeah, I mean, early on, I was loving George Carlin and even Lenny Bruce and who basically was the first one to embrace his freedom of speech and died representing himself literally and figuratively so that we could have freedom of speech. And then I really, you know, started loving guys like Eddie Murphy that were doing it in such a way, you know, he was kind of the second coming of Richard Pryor, and he was genius. And then, you know, we have guys like Dave Chappelle now, and I'm lucky as a stand-up, you know, I get up and I'm on lineups with all the greats because we all just want to try new material. So I do that in New York and LA and Austin, Texas. And so you just get to walk through a lot of initially fear, you know, and someone said to me, you're going to be a better actor because of stand-up. And I thought, how is that possible? But the reality is, because I get up on stage every night, I have no rust on me. And it's just such a miracle to be able to grab a microphone and just get up in any situation and make people laugh. And I highly suggest that people embrace their fears, because even though I've been on stage my whole life, when I first started doing stand-up, I hadn't really done that. Even though I'd done all different types of comedy, sketch comedy with a bunch of people on stage, things that were written, whatever. But navigating alone on that mic, even though, you know, it's like being a wrestler, a decorated college wrestler, you get into an octagon and where's your stand-up game? You know, where is my stand-up game? And I feel so confident and comfortable now on stage that, you know, I can have a moment, you know, with you or on the street, or I just came from the cigar store, and just put it right up on stage and have a blast. I can, you know, talk to the audience, and it's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. And then just make people laugh in the moment. So it's great.
Talking with Jeremy Piven. He's in town. The stand-up tour is in Eugene tomorrow night, the McDonald Theater.
Which is a beautiful theater, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's a masterpiece downtown. We need to take a break. Jeremy's going to stick around. We have a few more items to discuss. We'll be back with
uh-oh.
More. 95.3 The Score.
Wants to go deep.